Well, Marshall Rosenberg, who was the founder of nonviolent communication, talked about doing a workshop one time that his mother was present at, and the women in the workshop were talking about how frightening it was to express their needs because of the cultural setup that women have of suppressing our needs to fulfill the needs of others. And so suddenly his mother got up and left the room and was gone for a long time. And finally she came back looking very pale. And in front of the group, Marshall Rosenberg asked her, "Mom, are you all right?" "Yes," she answered, "but I just had a sudden realization that was very hard for me to take in." And he asked her, "Well, what was that?" "I just become aware that I was angry for 36 years with your father for not meeting my needs, and now I realize I never clearly once told him what I needed." And this is what happens, is we've been told not to be needy. And yet we all have needs. Needs are, in fact, one of the primal forces in life. The different parts of the brain all have their different needs that they want fulfilled. And sometimes those needs seem to be at odds with each other. And our needs seem to be at odds with the needs of others. But the truth is that we all have these needs. Maslow talked about these years ago, of course, with his hierarchy of needs. And his idea was that you had to get these first before you could get the next level and get these before you got the next level. And the nonviolent communication model is a little bit different. But all of these are needs that we all have. Needs that if we hide, if we don't ask for, won't be fulfilled. Because everybody else is busy trying to fill their needs. And so if we're not clear with our requests about what our needs are, it's not going to happen. Now, business understands needs. You know, one of the classic things of business is find a need and fill it. And of course, their way of trying to fulfill those needs of ours are a little bit manipulative, because we do have a need for water, for thirst. So they try to sell us soda pop and beer and things like that that don't necessarily, they might be strategies to fulfill that need, but they're not the need itself. We don't need those things. But what they're sold along with is that if you buy this soft drink, if you buy, what's the one for Coke? You know, the real thing. You know, it's like if you drink this, then everybody will like you, and you'll be a part of the in crowd. You'll be a part of the Pepsi generation. You know, those things of connection, which are needs as well. And so they're selling more than just trying to quench your thirst. They're trying to sell you that this product will fulfill all your other needs. And if you've noticed, it doesn't always work that way, because there are other ways to fulfill them. And so it's important for us not to confuse the strategies for fulfilling the needs with the needs themselves, and to recognize that there's another way that we can do it. Last week we talked about feelings, and just as a little bit of a review, the idea was to be present to our feelings, both in the body as well as our emotions, so that we can be alerted to what our needs are. And the sheet that we handed out, if you didn't get one, they're over in the tower lobby in the hallway there. There's a sheet of the feelings that we have. Feelings when our needs are met, feelings when our needs aren't met. And part of the invitation was to be aware of those feelings so we can see what the unmet needs might be. So this week we're going to focus on what the needs are and recognize, in essence, that the feelings follow the needs. So why did we start with feelings? So we can get in touch with those feelings so we can point to what the needs are. So my lesson today is needing to know your real needs. And one of the key things is that needs are universal. Every human being that I know needs to breathe air. Every human being that I know needs food. Every human being that I know needs to have water. And it's interesting how there are ecologies where, because we need oxygen and the trees need carbon dioxide. Well, what do? They take in carbon dioxide and give out oxygen. We take in oxygen and give out carbon dioxide. And so there's a larger cycle that this is all a part of as well that we can be aware of. The other part is to realize that all the needs are valuable and valid. It's not just about getting the certain basic needs and then we'll be okay, but all the needs are important. All the needs are a part of that. And the way that Jesus put it was this. This is our scripture for today. "For all these things that the nations, the world, that people seek after, Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And I always like to remind myself when I'm reading in the New Testament, when Jesus uses the word Father, the word that he used was the Aramaic word Abba, which could be translated as Father, could be translated as chief of the tribe, could be also translated as beloved. And so I like to think of the scripture this way, that your heavenly beloved knows that you have need of all these things. In another place, Jesus says that the beloved has already given you the kingdom. And so we have available to us this infinite resource of spirit to fulfill our needs, so we have to be clear about what they are so that we can ask and move into the work that we need to fulfill them. So need, N-E-E-D, is going to be our acronym for today. So the N is for we need a vocabulary of needs. So you should have one in your bulletin today, a needs inventory. So it should be in there. And again, don't think that this is necessarily complete, but it has a lot of them. So there's a couple categories. So there's needs for connection. Also notice that there's a need for autonomy. So we need to be with people. We also need to have our time alone. There's physical well-being needs, needs for honesty, play, peace, and meaning. So these are all needs. They're all valuable. They're all valid. Our needs and the needs of others. And one of the keys is learning to identify which need is up for us in the moment and which need is up for someone else, and how do we create strategies that help answer those needs in ways that can work for us all. And again, sometimes we get confused. Someone may say, well, I need a coffee break. And it's not that they need coffee. It's need they get up from their desk and move around, move their body around, and put their mind in a different gear. So coffee as a strategy is not necessarily what the need is. And so it's recognizing that many times what we think we need is not exactly what we need to work with. And we have physical needs. We also have non-material needs that are just as important and as vital for us as the other things. And the key, one of the keys to looking is this, that needs are general and can be fulfilled in different specific ways, different strategies, different behaviors. So here's a way to look at this. A teenager may say, I need a car. Well, why do you need a car? Well, I need a car so that I can be popular. So then we can plug this, use the same statement. I need to be popular. Why? So that I'll have friends. Well, I need friends so that I'll have companionship. So the real need is companionship. We can even go farther. I need companionship so that I'm not lonely, which points to the feelings that follow that. But if we start out with, I need a car. I got to have a car. Well, what's behind that? You know, that's not what the need is. That's the want. That's the strategy for getting it. So what's underneath that? And there's other ways to fulfill the needs of companionship besides getting a car that you have to put gas and oil in and pay insurance and all those things. There's other ways to do that. And so once we have clarity on our needs, we can get to answering those needs more quickly in our lives. Now, the other thing that happens is that many times when we think about someone else, we're projecting our own unanswered needs on them. And so here's one of the quotes from the book Nonviolent Communication. Judgments, criticisms, diagnosis. Do we ever diagnose other people about what's wrong with them? I do. I try not to, but I do. And the interpretation of others are all alienated expressions of our own needs. So if we say, well, that person is an idiot, what are we saying is, well, they've done something that hasn't fulfilled one of my needs. And is it helpful to call someone an idiot instead of saying, here's what my need is? Yeah, it's a very different experience. And so it's recognizing that when we get clear about our needs are and ask for help with fulfilling them, remembering that it's not anybody else's responsibility to fulfill our needs, it's our responsibility. But sometimes others can help. And so we can ask clearly rather than getting caught up in the judgment about it in our lives. And again, the key is that at different times, different needs will be up. Sometimes we'll have need to be alone, that autonomy need. Sometimes we'll have that need to be with others. And again, if you're in partnership with someone and they're having a need in the moment of being alone and you're having a need for companionship, again, that can create conflict. And so part of it is being in dialogue to say, okay, you want to have some together time. Can you give me 20 minutes? and then I'll give you the time of being together. And so you begin to negotiate and make this. I see you bumping him, okay? So that's a discussion that's come up before. Yeah, so it's all part of our growing. Now, what's also interesting is that sometimes we'll forego some of those needs to accomplish something else. Have you ever, for instance, forgone sleep in order to get a project done or to study for a test? Or maybe a friend you haven't seen in years comes over and you stay up till 2 a.m. talking. You know, you're both tired as can be, but you want it. That connection need is so important because you haven't been able to fulfill that with that person. And so it's recognizing that sometimes we'll value some needs more than others, but they're all valid and they all need to be given attention as well. Another thing that comes from this is this idea that needs motivate and energize behavior, and they sustain and enhance the quality of life. So if we have a need, if we're really, really thirsty, you know, we're going to go satisfy that need. If we're really, really hungry, I think of the story of Jean Valjean, you know, the whole thing about that. He stole a piece of bread, and the whole story evolves from that experience. And so we recognize that as people do things, what they're trying to do is fulfill their needs with the best strategy they can come up with in the moment. Now, we may not like that strategy because it may impinge on our needs, but part of it is recognizing that that's the motivation that they have. And here's what they say in the book that we're studying, Connecting Across Differences. All of us in each moment are navigating our needs in this way, discerning what strategies will best meet our various needs. So if we evaluate someone's behavior, not based on they're an idiot, but on, I wonder what their needs are that they're trying to fulfill and why they think that strategy will do it. You know, what a different way of looking at someone, what a different way of being present with someone rather than judging them of what's wrong with them. So this is our first step, is having this vocabulary of needs for ourselves. And once we do that, then it's time to start expressing our feelings and our needs. And again, we don't want to appear needy, but we all have needs, so we want to be clear about that. One of the observations that they make in the book is that most of the messages that they hear being presented to children in a family are about strategies and not about the needs. So for instance, you know, a parent might say, brush your teeth and go to bed. And another way of saying that would be, you know, I'm concerned about you getting enough rest so you'll be able to have a good time at school tomorrow, and I'd like you to go to bed in 10 minutes. It's a very different discussion than brush your teeth and go to bed. And again, this children may resist going to bed anyways, but you've been clear about your needs rather than just trying to say, I'm the boss. Because what's the favorite thing for kids to say is, you're not the boss of me. Because again, if we want them to grow up to be fully functioning adults, they have to learn to be the boss of them. And so part of that is modeling a clear expression of feelings and needs before we do that. And again, just another way of doing that. Years ago, it was Meredith's birthday was approaching, and I asked her what kind of birthday cake she'd like, because I wanted to bake her a birthday cake. And she said, well, I'd really rather have pumpkin pie or pecan pie. So pecan pie doesn't necessarily fulfill hunger. But it does satisfy, again, a sense of community, a sense of celebration, other needs that we have. And again, for her, that strategy of a pecan pie was a better strategy than you know, making a chocolate cake. And so it's recognizing that as we ask what other people are wanting, what their needs are, we'll have a different experience, and it'd be much better for them, and we'll have fun doing it as well in that process. Now, one of the things that we can look at in expressing our needs is with this needs inventory is as you read through this, look for, is there a need on there, a particular need? There may be several, but a particular need that maybe you need to attend to more, that you need to say, yeah, I need that and I haven't been getting that. Like I remember at the end of, this is about 6-7 years ago, at the end of the summer, I realized I hadn't gone boogie boarding once that whole summer. What a waste. I've got boogie boards in the garage. They stayed up in the garage. And so now at the beginning of summer, I put a boogie board and all my swimming gear in the trunk of my car so that when the water starts to warm up, it's got to be at least 65 degrees for me. I can leave the office here at 4 o'clock when the office closes, and I can be in the water at Mission Beach by 4:30. Yeah, and I can, and if I'm just there for 45 minutes or an hour, that's enough to be refreshed, to be renewed, and to be ready if I've got to come back for a meeting or a class, or whatever. I'm ready to do that because I've had that change of pace. And so it's important to look at what needs we have and make sure that we're taking care of them. And again, no one else is probably going to do it for you, so you've got to do it for yourself. The other thing that I think is very interesting in how Marshall Rosenberg presents this idea of needs, he says that in the beginning, most of us are in emotional slavery because we've been raised in a system that has made us responsible for other people's feelings and needs. You know, mommy gets so disappointed when you bring home bad grades from school. Well, if mommy's sad, mommy's sad. It's, you know, my grades may have been the stimulus for it, but her feelings are her feelings. Because we all have those experiences where something happens, there's a stimulus, somebody calls us a name, and we go, yeah, that's not who I am, I don't need to worry about it. But if they keep calling us that name over and over again, the same stimulus might evoke a different response. So it's not the stimulus, but it's what's inside and how we're seeing it, what our ideas are about it. So many times we're in emotional slavery to the situations because we haven't clearly identified our own needs to be able to express them, just like Marshall Rosenberg's mom, realizing she was in this marriage for 36 years and never clearly articulated what her needs were. So did she get them met? No, and she was mad that whole time. What a way to live. I don't think we want to live that way. So we want to live in a different way. And so what Marshall says, that once we begin to practice this stuff, the second stage that we get into is what he calls obnoxious. We get obnoxious about declaring what our needs are and wanting others to fulfill them for us. And he says eventually we get to the third place of emotional liberation, where we're so clear about our needs and receptive to others that we're able to create relationships in a different way. So I've caught myself being there a couple times, and I try to be over there, but that's the way it is. So the third part of our need, our second E, is to empathize with others' feelings and needs. And again, it's not our needs versus their needs. And if we come from this recognition that our needs are valid, we have to acknowledge that their needs are valid too. They need air, they need food, and they need water. They need companionship, they need time alone. That all of their needs are just as valid as ours. And so if we're going to live on this planet together, how do we work together? How do we acknowledge each other's needs in a way that's going to be supportive, collaborative, and create something greater? To me, when that's fulfilled, then we'll have peace on earth, won't we? Because people will honor, you have needs, I have needs, let's make it work together. Let's find strategies that work for us all. One of the things I learned early on when I was doing work with the teenagers in the West Central region of our Unity churches was that when we have a weekend event, you know, there's certain behaviors that we don't want the kids to be involved in, and we could have rules about what their behaviors would be. But I learned a different model early on, and that was what they called group agreements. And you get the kids together, and you'd ask them, what are the agreements that you want to have about our time together? And they would come up with no put-downs. That was usually the first one, because they didn't like that. And so they would make the agreements. And so because they were their agreements, I didn't have to enforce them. I would make them commit to doing that. If they saw someone not following the agreement, then it was their responsibility to speak up. Wait a minute, we've got this agreement. And it was a whole different way of experiencing that rather than trying to impose adult rules on these teenagers. It was their own agreement. So it made it all the difference in the world. So the key here is to find agreement on strategies that meet the needs that are up in the moment. So you have this need, you have this need, I have this need. What strategy can we do that's going to work for us, that we all get our needs met in a way that's... And part of that is paying attention. The next week we're going to look at listening, being present in a way of really listening. But I want to sort of introduce the idea that we're listening to someone else and trying to determine what their needs are. Eye contact is so important, to be present to them. So if you're talking to someone, you know, not be standing this way, but to stand and face them and to be aware of tension in their body, to be aware of facial expressions, to be aware of posture. All these things will give us cues about how to make an inquiry about what's going on for them so that we can be scanning and finding what their needs are, helping them get that out. Yesterday I was talking with one of my cousins. She's 85 years old, and she's taking care, she and her husband are taking care of their 12-year-old great-grandson. So it's not just grandparents taking care of grandkids, but this is their great-grandson. But they said, he's a delightful child, and they've created this way to make it work, that their grandson will drop him off Sunday night, and he'll be there through the week and come pick them up Friday. And so they've got him during the week. They get him to school, they get him to his different practices and everything, and they're loving it because they like their grandkids, they like to have connection with it, and so they found a way for everybody's needs to be met, and they're happy with that. And so I was just joyous to hear her talk about that experience and how it was working for them. So our vocabulary of needs express our feelings and needs, empathize with others' feelings and needs. And so then the next part of the word need is the D. So I thought of a couple different D's. One is that we have needs, make demands. This is what I want, you know. And deny others' needs or have any value, right? Nah, that didn't. So I came up with the word dance as a way of looking at this. Because as we begin to move into this practice, we're not always going to be successful. It's just like when you're learning how to dance. It's like you've got the steps. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah, that's not exactly dancing, but you're sort of figuring it out. We've got, when I was at the our Unity Convention in June, they did a worship service, and at the end we did the peace song, but it was the peace song to a salsa beat. So I'm working on the steps so I can teach in the music team, and then we're going to do it in 3 or 4 weeks. But it's like the salsa step, you know. Once you get it, you know, there's not that much to it, you know. And then you can add lots of things. But to begin with, you're going, okay, so what, you know? And it's, you know, but it's like anything else. As you practice, you get better. So it's the same thing with these skills, that as you practice, as you dance, or think of it, okay, I'm going to try it, see how it works, and sometimes you'll feel good about it, and sometimes you go, well, that didn't work so well. But that's all part of the process. I had an experience Thursday where we were communicating with someone, and I realized afterwards that I did not use any of these skills in that conversation at all. I said, this could have been a whole different experience if I had done that again. So it's like, so I know, okay, so I can remember that I can apply this in this situation, next, if there is a next time with this person. There may not be a next time with this person. But now I can recognize, I can broaden the way that I do that. So to give yourself permission to make mistakes as you do it, because you're doing it, you're trying it, you're moving ahead. And again, as needs get met, eventually what you find is there's an elimination of frustration and fear for yourself and for others, because you're no longer caught in the unproductive ways of doing it. You're at least finding something new. So as we practice the skills, we'll get better results. So here's the affirmation to sort of set us in motion with this. My mind is clear in God mind. Let's say that together. My mind is clear in God mind. So that when you're working with someone and you've got needs that you're feeling aren't being met, and you're observing behavior in them, strategy in them, they're saying that their needs aren't being met, just take a moment and say, all right, God, I need to have a different way of seeing myself and seeing this other person. What are the needs that are here, and how can we connect in a different way? Because those needs are universal, and they're all valid. They're all valuable. And as we expand our vocabulary of needs, express our feelings, empathize with others, and just make it a dance, we'll find that it is the Beloved's good pleasure to have given us this kingdom of blessing, this kingdom of joy. And Jesus said we need to ask, seek, and knock. So keep working on it, and eventually you'll get it. And then you can celebrate. That's one of the needs that I have, is to celebrate the things that work and say, okay, and what's the next thing to do? So let's pray. Dear God, we do give thanks to have the awareness that your living presence is within us and around us, that you are guiding us to be clear in what it is that will help us fulfill the highest and best for us, and for us to be present to others to help them fulfill their highest and best. We know that in that clarity, you are blessing us with strategies that'll be good for all. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.